You're listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo.
Hello, my name is Sheila Kelly Welch. Beverly Cleary's books turned our oldest son into a reader, and now I love sharing her writing with our grandkids. I began with them when I was in fourth grade. By the time I was in junior high, I had decided to become a children's writer and illustrator. When my first children's novel was published, it's called Don't Call Me Marta, I sent a letter and the book to Beverly Cleary. In my story, the main character's family is about to meet an 8-year-old they hope to adopt. Marcia is apprehensive because she's been told that this little girl is developmentally delayed, and she often acts like a 3-year-old. Marcia thinks she'd much rather meet Ramona than this stranger who will become her sister. I didn't know what to expect. Maybe a postcard with the autograph of this famous author. Well, Beverly Cleary sent me a charming handwritten thank you note that I've kept all these years since 1990 in our safe deposit box. So I'd like to wish a happy 100th birthday to a kind and exceptional author.
That was Sheila Kelly Welch, a children's book author based in Northern Illinois. This weekend, we asked Illinois authors to share how Beverly Cleary influenced them. That's because, as you heard, tomorrow is Beverly Cleary's 100th birthday. She's the author of many well-known children's books, including Ramona Quimby, age 8, Henry and Beezus, The Mouse and the Motorcycle. Today, we're talking with Cynthia Liu. She's a children's book author who lives in Chicago. Cynthia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Cynthia, you know, like every child, or like every child who's a fan of Beverly Cleary, I should say, I remember the exact part of my elementary school library. I think I remember the exact shelf in the corner of the library where all the row where all the Beverly Cleary books were, because I would just sit there and read the books. And I wonder, for you, what memories you have of reading her stories as a child?
I actually remember pulling out Ramona's book off the shelf. Which is really bizarre that I remember that. But I think part of what it was that it was Ramona Quimby, age 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have been close to 8 or something. And I thought, okay, this book is for me. And I remember reading that story and falling in love immediately with the character of Ramona. And also after that, I just voraciously read all of Beverly Cleary's books that I could get my hands on at that time, and anything that was in the shelf in the library that had her name on it. So Ralphus Mouse is another character that I fell in love with as well.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two that ring very clearly in my mind as a kid who was growing up in the 80s. And I remember even when I hit the books that were from the 50s, I remember thinking the covers were outdated and going, ooh, am I going to like this? And then, of course, I did. So her books do withstand the test of time 30 years later. And even today, recently my daughter read Ralphus Mouse, and again, I still loved it. So it doesn't really change. I think many people who talk about Beverly Cleary talk about how her books are still super enjoyable no matter what age you are.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about, Cynthia, right? Because certainly the covers have changed. We were having fun this morning, the staff of the 21st, because we were looking through covers, and I remembered the Ramona Forever cover that I had as a kid. And of course, now it's really different. But other than the covers of the book, what is it you think that makes Ramona or Henry or even Ralph the mouse? I mean, what is it about it that makes it so timeless, you think?
It has to be, for me, I actually wanted to look at this more closely last night. I was looking at opening pages, because that's usually how readers judge a book, is those first opening lines. And no doubt, like so quickly, Beverly Cleary is so good at capturing a character that a child can connect with like practically instantly. If you look at Henry Huggins, in the opening lines of that, she talks about a boy who has basically lost his adult teeth grown in, has broken an arm before, but has basically had nothing ever happen to him. And I think how many kids can relate to that? Millions of kids can relate to the fact that they've gone through all these basic life experiences but feel like they've had nothing happen to them. So instantly I can see how a kid could get pulled in and want to know why there's a story about Henry Huggins. And Ramona herself, in that opening line, she worries about getting a talking to. And in one line, there you go. There's the connection right there. How many kids worry about getting a talking to?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the, right, the verbal, like it's sort of everything Ramona's going through. I remember very much having the same sort of anxieties or worries or how you get in trouble. I think maybe that's what it is, right? I'm speaking with Cynthia Liu. She's a Chicago-based children and teen book author. Author of the picture books like Bike on Bear or Woby and Peep. She also wrote Paris Pan Takes the Dare. It's a mystery novel for older kids. How has Beverly Cleary's works, how did that impact you as a writer, Cynthia?
I would have to say, because I Beverly Cleary is one of my favorite authors, and there were other authors when I was reading books constantly as a kid that I think I just absorbed, and that was E.B. White as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about these
Charlotte's Web,
Charlotte's Web, Stuart Little, these stories. When I think about those two authors, I think I've actually absorbed not only the way they tell their stories, but how the writing style. Their stories are extremely accessible, easy to read as a kid. So when I think about, I didn't necessarily pattern my work after them necessarily, but I know that I must have somehow globbed on to this notion that when I write books for kids, I do try to make them very easy to read, very accessible. So it's basically, you know, there's nothing that you really have to think that hard about to understand the story. Second, I think that these authors did a great job of getting into the heads of kids. You really have to be able to capture what it's like to be a kid, to write realistic fiction. And Beverly Cleary did a great job of that with Ramona. She really got into the head of that child. Many children, even if they're not as outspoken as Ramona, can probably identify with having a lot of those kinds of thoughts that Ramona did as she went through everyday life experiences. So I think being able to connect with the reader and thinking about what they go through in their daily lives, the kinds of emotions that children go through, and trying to being able to capture that in any story for children is probably something I always think about when I'm crafting my own stories. And I think both E.B. White and Beverly Cleary did an amazing job of capturing that emotion and that experience of what kids go through, and use like everyday type situations, or you know, even in their more imagined stories, the emotions of children, even if it's an animal, you know.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you about, Cynthia. When we're thinking about children's books today and popular children's books, do you think that it's? I was going to ask about if you think. Do you think the audience or the industry has changed when we're talking about, because this is sort of Ramona Quimby is kind of in that age, the Beverly Cleary age, is a younger reader. It's sort of a it's my first book kind of reading. It's not like a Harry Potter or like a maybe that something older kids maybe would kind of gravitate towards. Do you think that the writing has changed?
I don't think necessarily the writing has changed. I think that what we're publishing is what we need to publish, the attitudes about that is changing. So there's always going to be need for a story that kids can connect with. And I don't think that core you know, requirement is changing. But I do know that there's an increased demand for books that better reflect our kids that are reading today. And one of the major topics that is going on in the industry is diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good example of something that you hear about a lot, that we need to write more stories that reflect all kids, not just white middle-class America. So when you think about that is definitely something that is changing, that publishers are paying attention to and listening and trying to change that sort of thing that's been going on. Also, families, family situations. It's not always a married family. There's definitely
or a mom and a dad, right?
Mm-hmm. Or a mom and a dad. There's single parent families as well. I mean, all different kinds of families are not necessarily reflected in children's literature, and so that's another thing. There's also different kinds of genres. Poetry, for example, is something that is kind of fallen by the wayside, except perhaps in picture books for younger kids. It's very difficult for a major trade publisher to publish like a collection of poetry for children. But today, now that we're able to find information so easily through technology and the internet, you're starting to hear from our readers.
That's what I was going to ask you about, Cynthia, in terms of technology, how much that's changed. Mm-hmm. the publishing industry for children's books? Because when you look at sort of the Amazon influence, the self-publishing influence, do you see that changing the way children's books are being published also?
Yes, I think it's just a matter of time before everything starts to really, it's bubbling now, and I think now there's a new entrance coming into play. Smaller press that is strictly print on demand will take on
topics. And is that
for
the good? Like, do you think that's better because then you get that diversity in there?
Absolutely. I think that the more voices that you hear from writers and readers, the better literature that you get out there. Basically, you're going to be able to see more stories being created that can connect directly with the reader that they're intended for and for everyone. I think one of the things that's happened in traditional publishing up until this point is that we have a tendency to say, oh, well, if this is a book featuring a diverse character, it's only meant for for people who are of color. Like, these books are only for black people or Chinese people or whatever. And that's really not the case. You know, we as children, when you think about how kids view the world, they don't really box it into categories. But yet we as adults have done that to our books. And so the more we hear from readers and from parents and from teachers and librarians out there in cyberspace, and the more writers understand that they have the power to actually create their own stories and get them to readers, the more pressure it puts on the whole industry to start listening to how diverse our world is and how we need more diverse stories in general. And I don't mean just about race and ethnicity. I mean about all the kinds of stories that we like to see out there.
So, Cynthia, that said, we just have about a minute or two left. I wanted to ask you, for parents who are listening or for aunts and uncles who want to get diverse kids' books for the kids in their life, where do you think the best place for them to go is to find that?
If we're talking about diversity in terms of, like, different sorts of ethnicity, that sort of thing, then I would definitely check out We Need Diverse Books. That's a movement that's going on.
Okay.
And you should.
And is that a website?
That movement. Yeah, I would. I don't know what the URL is, but just Google pound We Need Diverse
the
Books.
The hashtag. Okay.
Also, yes. Also, just speak about it. If you're on Facebook or Twitter, connect with librarians and teachers and booksellers. And start talking. I think when you have the conversation, then things start to change. And we are doing that as creatives out there. And there's definitely a difference just by communicating and speaking up. And I think, and also put your money where your mouth is, right? So if you see titles that you support, go buy the book. Go check it out from the library, because we know that publishers make a lot of decisions based on numbers. So if this is something you're passionate about and you see something that reflects what you want to see more of, be sure to register it in the system somehow by checking it out or purchasing it.
And our great producers, our fantastic producers are telling me that the website is diversebooks.org. So if you are interested, you can go to diversebooks.org. I want to thank Cynthia Liu, a Chicago-based author of children and teen books. The picture books include Bike on Bear and Woby and Peep, and also a mystery novel for older kids, Paris Pan Takes the Dare. Cynthia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We also received a message from Libertyville-based children's author Suzanne Slade, who wanted to wish Beverly Cleary a happy 100th birthday and share this story from her childhood.
Hi, this is Suzanne Slade. In fourth grade, my teacher asked us to write a letter to our favorite author. So I wrote to Beverly Cleary because I loved her books about Ralph the Mouse, Runaway Ralph, and the mouse and the motorcycle. And to my surprise, she sent me a letter back with a handwritten note. She answered my question if she was going to write another book about Ralph and said she would after she finished a book she was writing about Ramona. So I think her letter really helped inspire me. I now write children's books, and I get to show this letter to students when I go do school visits. And it was just so kind of her to send the letter, and she showed me that authors are real people. So I just want to share my story today in honor of her 100th birthday. Thanks.
It's tomorrow, but we're going to wish a happy early birthday to Beverly Cleary. Suzanne posted a picture of that letter, by the way, that Beverly Cleary sent. It's on our Facebook page. You can find it by searching for The 21st Show on Twitter. While you're at it, on Facebook. So search for The 21st Show on Facebook. While you're at it, though, you can follow us on Twitter. It's 21stshow. We just tweeted the link to that, as well as to that diversebooks.org. The 21st is produced by Amanda Hunningfort, Christine Herman, and Austin Keating. Technical direction comes from Jason Croft, with help from Steve Mork. Scott Cameron is our news director. On Friday, we'll be speaking with the women behind the Ebert Fest film Radical Grace. It's a documentary about three Catholic nuns and their boundary-pushing fight for social justice. So tune into The 21st next Friday. Thanks for listening today. I'm Nyla Boodoo.